Today's shiur is dedicated for Schus for Fu Shlema for Shalom Ben Bracha. Today's shiur is Masecht in the Daram Daf Tzadik, and we will begin on Daf Pei Tes Omid Beis, five lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Hu Gavra, Ditza Hanosa the Al Malay. He said that he won't have any benefit from anybody in the world. The Ran explains that it's not that he meant to say that he wouldn't be able to live in this world. Because as we've learned in earlier in our Masechta, if somebody makes a neder that, and we'll speak about this more, if somebody makes a neder that involves him not being able to survive, that clearly is not a neder that one has to keep. It falls into the category of a neder shav. But neder shav, that one would get Malchus for saying such a nether, but the nether has really no validity. And in order to avoid this question, that's why, as I said, the Ran and other Rishonim say that this nether was not a nether where he said, I won't have any benefit. It was much more of a limited type of a nether. Because as we learned earlier in the Masechta, for example, on the Aftez Vav Amud Aleph, that if somebody made a nether not to sleep for 3 days, then the halacha is that the nether does not take effect because it's impossible to remain awake for 3 consecutive days. And therefore, the nether is called a nether shav. It's a nether which is void. And the person who makes the nether is permitted to go to sleep. And therefore, because of this question, the Rosh and Tosfos take the position that a nether, which is impossible to observe, as the nether in our Gemara, is not considered nether shah if the nether was made contingent on the fulfillment of a tanai, of a stipulation. The Rosh and Tosfos explain that since it's possible, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, for this individual to avoid being restricted from all worldly benefits by observing the Tanai, which, as we're going to learn in a moment, means that he won't get married until he completes learning, it's not considered, therefore, a nether shah. Rabbeinu Tam holds that an impossible-to-observe nether is considered a nether shah and is void, even if it is contingent on a Tanai, and even if that Tanai is a Tanai which is attainable. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, why is the nether that we just learned about not considered a nether shav? So the Mariz Inzel, in his Gilyonis, in his glasses, Travni Meluim, makes a distinction between a conditional nether, which upon fulfillment of the condition takes effect retroactively from the time the nether was said, versus a nether which will only take place after the fulfillment of the condition. So he explains, if one makes a nether to refrain from eating today, and he stipulates that the nether should take effect retroactively if he takes a bath, so then he's also tit on that day, because we're concerned that he might eventually bathe and activate the nether. Therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, that if the terms of the nether are terms which are impossible to observe, He made a nether that he wouldn't eat any food. He made a nether that he wouldn't have any benefit from anyone in the world. That's considered a nether shav, even though the condition which was attached to the nether is a condition which is something he could do. He could avoid taking a bath today. But still, since the actual terms of the nether involve something which is impossible to fulfill, says Rabbeinu Tam, that's enough of a reason that the nether should not be considered a valid nether. However, in our Gemara, the nether that's being discussed is the person who made the nether, that he's not going to have any benefit from anybody, is only making a nether going forward, not retroactively. Therefore, since he doesn't have to begin observing the terms of the nether if he keeps the condition, or he violates the condition, Rabbeinu Tam will agree that that's not considered a neder shav. So again, says the Gemara, Hu gavra ditza hanasa da alma lei. He said that he won't have benefit from anyone in the world. If he won't first learn through Shas before he learns Torah. In other words, he was concerned that if he's going to learn, if he's going to get married before he learns through Torah, he won't have an opportunity to learn. So to make sure that he does do his learning first, he made this neder. Says the Gemara, he ran with his stick and his coat, but he wasn't successful in learning. It's a parable that he tried as much as he could to learn, but he wasn't successful. So now he has a dilemma. His dilemma is that he can't get married because he made a condition that he cannot benefit from anyone in the world until he finishes learning. And he can't learn, but he wasn't successful in his learning. So we have here an issue. Because the issue goes back to what we said in our previous year, Machloikis, Rav Nosson de Chachamim. In our previous year, we discussed the Machloikis, Rav Nosson Chachamim. At what point could you be Matan Neder? Could you only be Matan Neder? Could you be Matan Neder as soon as you articulate the Neder? Or can you be mad the nether only when the nether is effective? And the opinion of Rav Nosson was that you could only be mad the nether when the nether is effective. Here, the nether was not effective yet, so because he didn't get married. So the question was, how could he be mad the nether? Also, Rav Achabar Huna v'shapshei. So Rav Achabar Huna did is he told him that even if you'll get married, you don't have to worry. You won't be usher to people in the world. Vince of Itasa, because of that, he now felt confident that he could get married. He married a woman, and now the nether did go into effect. So now the issue was, the Sharkitina, what did Rav Acha do? He put dirt on his clothing. That means that he now realizes that he needs to rely on other people. He needs to go to the laundry to have his clothing washed. And now, therefore, he has a strong reason to be mad the nether. Vasile Kamei, Rav Chisda, he was brought to Rav Chisda to be mad the nether. Amar Rava, so Rava commented on this entire episode, Man Chochem Lehevet Kei Milsa. Who is so smart to be able to understand that this was the proper thing to do? Ilav, Rav Achbar Rav Huna, if it wasn't only Rav Achbar Rav Huna, the Gavra Rabbahu, he's a great Talmud Chacham. Why was the need for this? The Kesavar, because Rav Acha was of the opinion, the Kihecha the Pligi, Rabban Rav Nosson Bafara, as we mentioned in the previous shir extensively, the Machloikis of Rav Nosson and the Chachamim, if you can be Meifer a Neder as soon as it was articulated, or do you have to wait for the Neder to take effect? Hachanami Pligi B'Sheila. Even if it's not going to be cancelled through Hafara, even if it's going to be cancelled through Ataris Dadarim, he held, Rav Acha held, that the same Achloikis of Rabban and Rav Nosson exist. And therefore, according to Rav Nosson, the Rav, cannot be matter the nether just because he said it. So what he wanted to do was, he wanted to fool him into marrying a wife, and then by fooling him into marrying a wife, the nether will kick in, and once the nether will kick in, now he can go to the Rav to be matter the nether. The Ran, that says the toch betit, means that he just made his suit dirty, says that even that he didn't say, going back to the issue of Shvu Shav, that he didn't say that I'm not going to have any benefit. He limited certain benefits, but having his clothing washed was included in the benefits that he wasn't allowed to have. And that's why he put him into that predicament, that's why he should be able to be matan the nether. That's the way the Ran learns the Gemara. However, there are other ways, there are other approaches to this Gemara. The Rosh explains that Rav Acha insisted that this person has to take off all his clothing, because the clothing were giving him forbidden benefit, because he wasn't allowed to have benefit from anything in the world, including wearing clothing. And therefore, what he did was, he covered him with dirt, and by covering him with dirt, like that, he was covered until he was able to be matan neder. So the Gro says that the machlokes of the Ran and the Rosh here speaks to a very fundamental issue. And that is, when somebody is going to be matan neder, and we know, as we've discussed extensively in our Masechta, that what Ataras the Dharma accomplishes is that it makes the nether retroactively null and void. But the question that we need to understand is, how does the halacha look at that? If I know that I'm going to be matan nether, and when I'm going to be matan nether, the Rav will certainly be matan nether for me, and since I know that the Rav will certainly be matan nether for me, that means that the nether will not be effective. Therefore, I already now can act as if the nether doesn't exist. Or must I wait until the Rav is actually matan nether? And until the Rav is actually matan nether, then and only then can I act as if there's no nether. But prior to that, I would not be allowed to act in that fashion. The Ran's opinion apparently is that as soon as I'm matan nether, as soon as I know I'm going to be matan nether, it's enough to me to act as if there was no nether. The other man d'amar holds that not. The Michetz Yitzchak, Shalos Chus Michetz Yitzchak, in Chelek Aleph Simen Yotes, says, discusses a question where a man was in a quarrel with his wife, and she, for whatever reason, and as he was in a quarrel with his wife, one of his wife's family members was going to make a bar mitzvah, and he made a neder on that he wouldn't go to the bar mitzvah. And now he regrets what he did. Now he regrets what he did. So what could he do? Why? Because the question is, how could you be matter the nether if the time of the nether didn't come? In other words, he wanted to travel to the bar mitzvah. The bar mitzvah was apparently out of town, and it involved traveling already from before Shabbos to go to the bar mitzvah. But traveling before Shabbos, the nether wasn't yet effective. And the question is, how could you be matter nether? And we're learning now before it's effective. So he says, based on that the Gemara that we just learned, two reasons to be matter nether. One is that traveling to the bar mitzvah is included in going to the bar mitzvah. And since traveling to the bar mitzvah is included in going to the bar mitzvah, so therefore, the halacha is he's allowed to travel to the bar mitzvah, because he's already on the way to the bar mitzvah, which the nether is about, and he can be matan nether. The other point that he makes is that if he knows for sure, the point that we just learned, that if he knows for sure that the nether will become canceled, so even before the nether is canceled, he's allowed to rely on that Ataras Nadarim based on the Gemara we just learned. So as we've been learning, at least until this point, we've learned in our previous year a machloikis of Rav Nosson and the Chachamim, at what point can you be made for a nether? Can you only be made for a nether at the point when the nether is takes effect? The opinion of Rav Nosson, or can you be made for a nether as soon as it was said, the opinion of the Chachamim. And the Gemara says that machloikis, Rav Acher's opinion is that machloikis applies to not only Haforos Nedarim, but Ataros Nedarim as well. Rav Papi disagrees. He says machloikis by Haforo. The machloikis that we have of Rav Nosson the Rabbanon is only by Haforo. The Rav Nosson Sovar ain't about Mefer Elm Kain Chal Neder, that you can't be Mefer Neder until it actually takes effect. Why? The Ksiv. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, V'chofra halavona. So he explains, V'chofra, as substituting the hay and the ches. V'chofra halavona, he explains, chal b'no. That right only after the nether, only as the nether takes effect, that is when the nether can be, you can be made for the nether. Of course, the Rishonim point out that this pasuk, which has really nothing to do with the Dorim, it's difficult to say that this pasuk should serve as a source for such an important halacha. Rather, the pasuk is only a simon. What is the pasuk that is the basis for Rav Nosson's opinion? Says the Ritva and Tosfos and the Rosh that the pasuk says, V'hefer es nedora asher ha'leho. And from here we learn, asher aleho, that only when the nether is aleho, when it's ready, when she's ready, obligated to the nether, at that point you have to keep the nether. The Shita says that the way to learn this pasuk is because the beginning of the pasuk that we just quoted in Yeshaya begins with the words, Kimelach Hashem Tzavakos. What does the pasuk mean to say? V'chofer alavana, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will keep his nether, that he will be the king over all of us, at that point, the nether will become a nether. So again, we see from here that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nether that he's going to be Melech HaKol HaOlam, it's not really considered a nether until we all, in Mitzvah Shem, will experience it very soon. Rabbanan Tzavrei Baal Meif Apish Loi Chal Nether. The Rabbanan, as we've been learning, that you can be made for a nether before, as soon as it was said, even though it hasn't yet taken effect. The Ksiv, because they learn it from the Pasuk, a Mefer Machshavos Arumim. So we see from here that as soon as there's a Machshava, at that point, you can be Mefer the Nether. And again, the Chasam Sofer points out that this Pasuk in Eoiv has nothing to do with Nedarim. It's only being brought as a remez. Avo B'Sheila, but suggests Rapapi, when we're talking about being matan nether, there, Devar Hakal ain chacham matan klum, everybody will agree that you can't be matan a nether, elm kein chela nether, until the nether takes effect. Iksiv, lo yachal dvarai. And Chacham say, hu ain a mechel, we've learned this limud many times, that a person himself can't be made for the nether, matan nether, avachelim, or chacham can be matter another. So, but the way to learn this is yachel. You could only be matter another yachel after it was chal, after it took effect. And therefore, the nether, everybody will agree, you can't be matter another until it takes effect. And the Tferes Tzion explains why. Because what does Hataras Nedarim, as we've discussed, Baruch Hashem, so many times in our shiurim, what does Hataras Nedarim represent? What Hataras Nedarim actually represents is that you go to the Chacham and you started experiencing the nether and you tell the Chacham that if I would have realized the difficulty or the repercussions of keeping this nether, I would have never made the nether. But that means you have to have experienced the nether. And once you experience the nether, you could go and say that it's too difficult. Specifically, as we've discussed previously, there are certain opinions that say that all that a legitimate way of being mad the nether is just saying that I regret that I made the nether. But you could only regret it once you've experienced it. If you haven't yet experienced the nether, you can't regret the nether. If that is the case, we understand why everybody would agree that you can't be matter and nether. That's why you could agree where you can't be matter and nether only until the nether is effective. And now we could understand why, says the Ran, why the pasuk says lo yachel dvaroi, which we learned a moment ago, is a pasuk that speaks about hataras nedarim, that specifically by hataras nedarim, the halacha will be that the neder could only be revoked after the neder takes effect. Lemem sile, says the Gemara, perhaps that everybody will agree that regarding hataras nedarim, you can't be matan neder until the neder takes effect. The Brisa teaches us, if somebody says, koinim she'enin neder l'ploini, that I make a neder, then a certain individual can't have any benefit from me. Ulamisha eshalov. And he also made a neder that the chacham that will be matan the neder can't have benefit from me. The halach is, nishal alarishin, you can be matan neder to the he came out the nether, vakach, and now you have to be matter el sheni, and now the second nether that takes effect, that the rov becomes us to me, then I'm matter the nether. Says the Gemara, I amrit nishal apish loichal nether. So if we go, but ask the Gemara, if we're going to say that even by a nether, that the way we're having the nether revoked is through hatara, it doesn't make a difference. And the nether need not have taken effect for me to be able to be mat the nether. So why is the Brisa indicating that I first am mat to the first nether and then I'm mat to the second nether? That order should not be necessary. The halacha is, if the halacha were to be that as soon as I articulate the nether, I have a right to be matter the nether, so why did the Brisa indicate a specific order? The Brisa seemingly, by indicating that specific order, was saying that you can't be matter a nether until the nether actually takes effect. So as soon as the first nether takes effect, that's when I have a right to be matter the nether. And then when the second nether takes effect, I have a right to be mat to the second nether. But it seems that I only can be mat to the nether when they take effect. Ask the Gemara, mi yoda, ihai kama, ihai basra. Who says the Gemara, that that's what the Tana meant, that you specifically have to be mat to nether, the first nether first, and then you have to be mat to the second nether. Maybe that's not what the Tana meant at all. The Tana meant to say is that the first nether you're going to be matter is whichever nether you matter first, and the second nether that you're going to be matter, you'll be matter second. According to that explanation, all the Brisa says is that you have to be matter the two nedarim, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be matter them in any specific order. So that Brisa, therefore, is not a raya, that when it comes to Hataras Nedarim, everybody will agree, said Rapapi, that you could only be Matan Neder after it takes effect. Says the Gemara, El Leimim Sayle, this is the raya. Somebody says, Koinim Sheneneni Laplani, somebody made a Neder that somebody won't have benefit from me, Hareni Nazal Chashalav, and if I am Matan that Neder, then the Aloch is, I will become a nazir. The halach is nishal al nidroi. First, you have to be matter the first nether, the nether that you said that this person shouldn't have benefit from you. Vakach nishal al nidroi, and then you matter the second nether. Now, ask the Gemara. Vi amrit nishal av pishloi chal al nether. If the halach will be that you can be matter nether even before the nether took effect, so why here suggest the Gemara? You can't say that the Brisa, even though it says one and then the other, is not going in a specific order. Because here the Brisa went out of its way to say the first were matter the nether, which came first, and then were matter the naziris, which came second. So it's obvious that the order does play a role. Why does the order play a role? The order plays a role because the two nedar, because you have to both, you only can be matter the nether after it takes effect. So isn't this a raya to Rapapa? Again, Iamrit Nishal Av Pishloi Chala Neder, says the Gemara, if you're going to say that you could be Mata Neder even before it takes effect, then the halacha ought to be Iboy al nedra itchel bereisha. He could first be matted in the nether. Iboy al nizra itchel bereisha. He should be able to be matted in the zeros first. Says the Gemara, yes, this braisa clearly is a proof that the order makes a difference. But this braisa represents the opinion of Reb Nosson. If Reb Nosson says by hafara the order is critical, he certainly will hold that by hatara the order is critical. For we learned, Reb Papi is teaching us that the order being critical by hatara is that the nether being in effect by hatara is much more obvious than the nether being in effect by hafara. So Reb Nosson, if he says by hafara that you can't make, it cannot be made for the nether until it takes effect, will certainly hold so by hatara. And this price is going to be following the opinion of Reb Nosson. But Reb Papi, who said that everybody agrees that by hatara you can't be matted in the nether until it takes effect, even the Chachamim, this price is not a raya. Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, Amali Marema, Hocha Amar Vuch Mishmed Reb Papi, Machloikis Bafara. The Machloikis that we're having is regarding hafara. Avo B'Sheila, when we speak about Hataras Nadarim, Divra HaKomeifer, here the Gemara introduces an opposite opinion. When it comes to Hataras Nadarim, the halach is that everybody agrees that the Chochem can be mat the nether, Apish Loichal HaNeder, even if it's not Chal. And why? So the Tveres Tzin now explains, because as we've also been learning often in our Shiurim, the difference between Hatara and Hafara is that Hatara is oikra nether miikara. It makes like the nether never existed. So if the purpose of that Torah is to completely eradicate the nether, so it doesn't make a difference when I'm going to do it. Hafara, which is only mikan Allah haba, their halach is that the nether has to be in effect in order to be made for it. The ksiv layachal devaroi. And from here he learns the word devaroi as soon as he spoke. The Shita says, if we go further in the Pasuk says, K'chol ha-yoytzi mipiv yasa. So we see as soon as the yoytzi mipiv, as soon as the nether was yoytzi mipiv, as soon as he said the nether is subject to Ataras Nadarim. L'memra, to teach us, D'lehava b'maisa, that even though the nether has not actually taken effect, it makes no difference. Meisvei asked the Gemara in this opinion, it says in a braisa, kainim sheni nenin l'ploini, that somebody made a nether that I won't have benefit from, that this person should not have benefit from me. Well, Misha Nishalov, and he also made a nether that he won't have benefit from the Rav who will be matted a nether. The halach is Nishal Alarishan. He could be, he has matted nether, the first nether. Vakach Nishal al sheni. So here too, the braisa is being very specific about the order. So if we say that you can't be matter and nether until it takes effect, we could understand the specific order that the braisa is indicating. Because you have to say, you could only be matter and nether after the nether takes effect. But if we're saying now that you can be matter and nether even before it takes effect, then Amai asked the Gemara, the halacha ought to be, he should be able to be matter and nether first. Says the Gemara, Miyadai Hai Rishon V'Hai Rishon. How do we know to explain that when the Tana says Nishal Rishon V'Akach Nishal Sheni, that the Tana specifically means the first not the first, the second not the second? When he uses the word Rishon V'Sheni, it means the first nether that I went to the Rav to be matter, and the second Rav that I went to the Rav to be matter, but not that there's any specific order in the Hafaras Nadarim. Meisvei asked the Gemara another question. The Braisa says, "Kainim she'enin nether plani," that makes a nether that no, that this individual may not have any benefit from me. And then he says, "When I matter the nether, if I am matter the nether, I will become a nozzle." The halacha here is nishal al rishon, nishal al nidroi, v'akach nishal al nidroi. Now here, there's no way of saying that the order is not being very clear. Because we see clearly that he goes for the nether, he has to be matted the nether, which is first, and only afterwards can he be matted the naziris, which only took effect after he was matted the first nether. But if we're learning, ask the Gemara, that that when it comes to Ataras Nadarim, we can be matter in that as soon as was said, even before it took effect. Amai, the halacha ought to be, he should be able to do either one first. From here we see to Yufta, from here we clearly see that the halacha is when it comes to Ataras Nadarim, the halacha is that the order, that the nether cannot be mutter, you can't be matter a nether before you go, before the nether takes effect. Says the Mishnah, Bershina, before the takana that we're going to learn in our Mishnah, Chazal instituted, the rule was, Hayayimrim, Chazal would teach us that Shalosh Nashim, Yaitzis, the three women who could terminate their marriage, Vinaitis Ksuba, and demand the Ksuba. If you have a wife of a Kohen, and as we've learned previously, if a woman has an adulterous affair, an adulterous relationship with willingly, so the halacha is she's osla baal, she can't be married to her husband. Her husband divorces her, and not only does her husband divorce her, but she doesn't get a ksuba. When you have an eishes kohen, even if she was violated, the halacha is that she is entitled. She's entitled to her, she can't remain with her husband. Says the Mishnah, Haimaris Tamei Lach, a woman, a wife of a kohen, says to her husband, I was violated. So as soon as she says so, she's also to her husband, and she's trusted because Shavya Nafsha Chaticha De Sura. She's trusted when she says this, and therefore she becomes also to her husband. If she says to her husband, Shmayim Beinila Benecha, you can't make me pregnant. And this woman wants to have children, and because she wants to have children, then she could say, I demand a divorce. And as the Rishonim, we learned this in Masechta Ksubos, explain, her claim cannot be based on saying that she wants to fulfill the mitzvah pirah rivia. Because as we know, women are not obligated in the mitzvah pirah rivia. Rather, the reason she can make this claim is because the Gemara says she wants chutra liyada, she wants to have children, she becomes elderly, she wants somebody to be able to help her. That is a claim that any woman can make. Next, if she said the tula nimen ehuda, if she said that I can't, she made a neder that she won't have relations with anybody. So why would a woman make such a neder? The reason a woman should make such a neder is because it's difficult to have children, difficult for her to have relations. And therefore, there's no way for this marriage to continue. She's not able to have relations, and therefore, the husband should divorce and give her ksuba. But then, says the Mishnah, Chazru Loimer, that Chazal changed their opinion. Because they were concerned, that there's going to be a woman who wants to marry a different man, and therefore she'll say these kind of statements. She'll say, and she'll say these kind of statements to be able to get out of a marriage that she wants to get out of. And therefore, says the Mishnah, Chazal Paskin, that I married to Tamei Ani Loch, if she says that she was violated, Tavi Raya L'dvara, she should bring a Raya. And even though the Loch is Shavya Nafsha Chituchi Desura, that a woman who comes and says that this happened is believed, so now the question asked the Ran, if Alpi Midaraisa, she's believed when she makes such a statement, Har Chachamim say that we don't believe her. So the Ran says, what Chacham will apply here is the concept of Hefki Rabbanim Kedushim Inei. The Chazal will say that in this case, she was never married. If she was never married, then there's no problem when she was violated because she wasn't of an Eishes Ish. Tavi Raya L'dvarecha. Hashemayim Beinila Benecha. If she says that you're incapable of fathering a child, Yasu Derech Bakasha, says the Gemara, what they should do is they should try to get them we should try to mediate between them, and we should try them to get them to agree to a divorce. We can't force them to get divorced, but we try to get them to that point then between themselves. If a woman says, she says that I won't have tashmish with anybody, he can be made for his portion. This goes back to what we spoke about many times. That part of the nether he's made for. So she could remain married to him. The nether, he has a right to be made for that nether. And the rest of that part of the nether, and the rest of the nether will be in effect. We know the halacha is that a kohen's wife is entitled to eat truma. As the Torah says, the kohen ki yikna nafesh kinya kaspoi hu yoichaboy. And therefore, a kohen's wife is entitled to eat truma. But let's say she had an adulterous relationship, even if it was ba'onis, even if she was violated, she loses the right to eat truma. So now ask the Gemara, Ibailu, Amar Labala Tameani. A woman said to her husband that I was violated. The question is, Ma Toich B'Truma? And we just learned in our Mishnah that when she makes such a statement, we don't believe her. Because Chazal concerned, Kadesh Loitain the Senes in Ebe Acher, that she maybe only made the statement because she wants to marry someone else. So if we don't believe her, how far does that go? Ask the Gemara. Ma ushetoch b'truma? Is she going to be allowed to eat truma or not? And I saw that the Rishonim point out that the discussion in our Gemara is not regarding truma deraisa. Everybody would agree that she will not be entitled to eat truma deraisa. The question that we're discussing is only regarding truma derabonim. Rav Sheshes Omar Achelis. Rav Sheshes says, we allow to eat truma. Because if we won't allow to eat truma, we need to be concerned. If we're going to say that she's not allowed to eat truma, people are going to say that she was violated. And if she was violated, then her children are not, she can't remain with her husband. And if she remained with her husband, her children are halalim. And if her children are halalim, that they're not kohanim. To avoid that type of situation, we say she could eat truma. She could continue to eat truma. V'rav Amar Ein Ocheles, we're not concerned about the rumors that may form about her children. She's eating chulin. People won't know that she's not eating truma because she's not allowed to eat truma. People are going to say she's not eating truma because she doesn't have truma available. And therefore, just because she's not eating truma will not necessarily cause rumors about her children. Amar Rava, however, says Rava, Maidra of Sheshes, Shemnes Amala, that once she becomes Almana, Eina Necheles, then she doesn't eat Truma. Because Meidu Hoi Tama, what's the entire reason Rava said that she's allowed to continue eating Truma? El Mishum Shloi Toitzi Laza Banel, we're concerned about any rumors about her children. This Amla and this Garsha, but if she becomes an Almana or a Grusha from that Kayin, Amri, people will say, Hashta it's Nisa. She was violated only after she was only violated after she got divorced. And therefore, even though the halacha is that somebody who has children from a kohen, as long as they don't get remarried, they're allowed to continue eating truma. But what would happen if she was violated after, once she's violated, even though she has children who are kohanim, she loses the right to eat truma. So since she loses the right at that point to eat truma, so therefore people will say she was violated at this point, and that's why she's not eating truma, but has nothing to do with the children that were born prior to her becoming single, prior to her getting divorced or her husband dying.